This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Right on the nose at 7:30 for those of you that care. 855-839-1210. Welcome back. Happy Friday. The Cioli Show. 1 hour of nonstop talk. A first in Philadelphia Morning Drive Radio. Glad you are here. Happy Friday. And lot to get to, a lot to analyze for you, a lot to discuss, of course. And I'll tell you one thing, and this is very, very sure. Bernie Sanders going on Cardi B will go down in history as the single greatest political interview of all time. No doubts. Not since Tim Russert or the Lincoln-Douglas debates have we had such intense political acumen on display. And we have audio for you as well. And the cicada, Bob Casey, Senator Bob Casey, and all of his grandstanding today. But first, we turn to a man who should not be on the streets, and that
no,
is, of course,
not, that's not fair to
our
him.
Our buddy, the promotions czar, Walter Koch. Walter, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Very well, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You went to the Bob Casey School of Enthusiasm?
Yes, I did. I majored in low energy.
Wow. You, Tom Wolf was your mentor, right? Is that right, the governor?
Yep.
Yep.
I got a doctorate.
Okay, then. So, Walter Koch, of course, our promotion czar, does a great job. He has some. What are you doing today? What are we doing?
T-shirt drop. We have our new stock of green Zioli Army t-shirts that came in.
Very
that's
nice.
The presses. I know there are some people waiting for shirts, and they'll be rolling out this week to some people, or that by the end of or beginning of next week, so they'll be receiving them. But yeah, so I'm out here in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Okay, where?
I'm getting there.
he's like a slow.
We need a drum.
I only have an hour of nonstop talk. Can you?
I'm in the Plymouth Meeting Mall parking lot. Now, the Plymouth Meeting Mall is very big. Where I want it to be, they're actually, just my luck, they're ripping up the parking lot. So I'm the Burlington Coat Factory is under construction here. I'm in that part of the section of the mall. What's a good thing is I'm like the only car. Oh, there's a few cars where the construction goes well, but I'm like kind of the only car, so I'm easy to find. I suggest the people, if they're listening right now, to if they're coming on Germantown Pike, you can access it from Hickory Road at the first entrance, and I'm like over in that section of the mall.
Excellent.
Okay, and that's where the Macy's was for anybody. Who
yeah. Dawn, it's like on the other side of the Macy's, but yes, yeah. I'm on the.
Please
German
don't confuse people any more than they're already confused. Dawn,
I'm sorry.
He wanted to be, but there's construction, so he's in another place. And
well, are you on the Whole Foods side, or are you over on the
yeah,
on the California Pizza
the
Kitchen?
Side. There's a P.F. Chang's.
Okay.
I'm on where all that is.
It's the Dave and Buster's are. Side.
Yep.
All right.
Yes,
so you
buy exactly. But I'm more towards the Plymouth Meeting. Germantown Pike side.
Okay.
Thanks for making this so clear and easy for everybody driving to work this morning to be able to find. All right. Well, I hope that helps.
Hey, listen. Yeah. There's someone that found me already. There's someone.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Hopefully, it's an officer, police officer. All right, Walter. We'll get back to you. Thank you, Walter. Appreciate that. Good luck. All right. It's very good.
He's the only car. Okay. There might be other cars.
I'm here. I wanted to be there, but I'm here. But I'm by. It's not a Denny's, but I wish it was a Denny's. It's like wait, what?
He's in the Plymouth Meeting Mall, people. Yeah, in the parking lot of the Plymouth Meeting Mall. That's all you need to know.
I'm over there all the time because the boys want to go to Dave and Buster's. So it's on the Dave and Buster's side.
Remember, please take a picture with the shirt and hashtag Zioli Army.
Yes.
Z-E-O-L-I Army, okay?
Yes.
Hashtag that, and we will retweet it as well, okay? Thank you. 855-839-1210. So, in addition to the grandstanding by some of these other politicians, there were other grandstanding yesterday as well. This is now, let's see here, State Senator Sharif Street. All right, he's a state senator. He was very fired up yesterday at the mayor's office. And let's take a listen, shall we?
So no, we in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have not done everything we're supposed to do. We are derelict in our duties, and it is because the majority caucus is afraid of the NRA. They refuse to call a vote on this legislation. They are derelict in their duties.
Let's stop it for a second. I may not agree with this guy, but I do like his energy. Why can't the governor or the senator channel like a quarter of that energy? Just a quarter of it. Instead, you get the mediator, Tom Wolf.
Well, I'd like both sides to think about whether or not the family coats should stay in the family or not. We'll discuss that.
And you get Bob Casey going, gosh darn it, shucks. But I go to Washington next week. I'm going to take a tour first and then a nap. And then I'm going to get a sandwich. And then I'm going to push for this. At least this guy's got a little passion. I mean, it's I don't agree with the passion, but at least he has some.
Watching the whole 45-minute press conference, he was definitely the only one with any sort of, you know, not to say that they didn't have emotion, but he's the only one who expressed it in any sort of way.
All right, keep going.
It is because the majority caucus is afraid of the NRA. They refuse to call a vote on this legislation. They are derelict in their duties. They've turned their backs on the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They turned their backs on the people that were murdered in Squirrel Hill. They turned their backs on the people that are shot in our communities every day. They turned their backs on people that are killed in Allentown and Reading and York and Erie. And yes, they turned their backs on the people of North Philadelphia, including its police department, who should not have to go up against people who have firearms that can shoot at a distance, fire weapons in rapid fire. So we haven't come
all right
close.
Now let's stop it there for a second.
It is because the
okay, let's stop. So weapons that can fire long distances, that's now the other target now. So now I guess so any rifle that can fire a long distance now will also I guess be banned, or that can fire rapid fire. So that's all semi-automatic weapons, I guess. This is where we are now. This is where we're going with this. Again, this guy's a criminal who should not have had a gun. The gun that he used is not really the point. He shouldn't have had the gun. Because if you make an AR-15 ban, he's not going to follow it because he's a criminal. That's why he's a criminal, because he doesn't follow the law. Now, we had a ban on AR-15s and other assault weapons in the 1990s. It was signed into law by 1994 by Bill Clinton. And you know what? They concluded they had over 18 different kinds of weapons that were banned. And it lasted for 10 years. And they did a study. The University of Pennsylvania in 2004 did a study commissioned by the National Institute of Justice. And you know what they found as a result of that, according to the Washington Post? While gun violence did fall in the 1990s, this was likely due to other factors. Quote, from University of Pennsylvania study, quote, "We cannot clearly credit the ban with any of the nation's recent drop in gun violence. And indeed, there has been no discernible reduction in the lethality and injuriousness, I can't say that word, you know, people getting injured, of gun violence. One reason is that assault weapons were never a huge factor in gun violence to begin with. They were used in only 2% to 8% of gun crimes." All right, so it didn't work then because it's not the problem and it's not going to work now, but that's where we are, though, again. That's where we are again. So people killed in mass shootings did go down during those years, but you have to remember something, all right? Mass shootings are anyone that's four or more people shot, which includes what happened last night in Philadelphia, five people with a handgun. All right. So again, this is why when you focus on these things, you're focusing on the wrong things again, things that are not going to help. And that's the problem here. But then you get all kinds of other things. Now, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, she wants to use all kinds of totalitarian and fascist ideas to get rid of guns. That's what she's going to do now. She put out a video yesterday tweeting this out, pledging executive action in every corner. Cut 15. 15. Or not 15. Or we get.
I have put out this morning a comprehensive gun plan that has a lot of details in it. I will introduce it in the first 100 days, and I will help repeal the filibuster so that we can actually get it passed in Congress. But I want to do more. I want us to change how we think about gun safety.
By the way, the reason why I call her America's mother-in-law, does that not sound like she's lecturing the entire family on vacation?
Please no. Please no.
Right? I want to do more. I think we need to start playing Scrabble as a family together. I think we should put our devices down longer. I think we should take more time as a family to talk.
Oh.
I know this is vacation, and some of you like to do your own thing, but we're all together. I think we should talk more. So maybe we start with turning off the football. Maybe we turn off the football. Perhaps we turn off the device, the little game, the Game Boy. Turn off the game. That's why she's America's mother-in-law to me. It's all I hear when I hear her talk. It's all I hear. Sorry, go ahead.
But I want to do more. I want us to change how we think about gun
vacation
safety in America. Oh my God, no. It's not just about passing four pieces of legislation.
It's not just about coming together for a week at the shore. It's about being together for a week at the shore. Would it kill you to maybe, if we stayed in one night and had dinner together as a family? Why would that be so hard for you people? That's all I hear. That's all I hear. I can't take anything seriously other than she's going to now use all kinds of executive authority and actions. So that's why I use that moniker of America's mother-in-law. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
All right, a little bit more of America's mother-in-law.
Four pieces of legislation over there are changing two regulations over here. It's about reducing the deaths from gun violence. That's what our goal has to be. 40,000 Americans died last year from gun violence. So here's my commitment as president. I will reduce that number by 80%. We will make change, we'll figure out what works, and then we'll make some more change and some more change.
Oh.
I will take executive action in every corner with the Department of Justice, with ATF, to move as much as I can. But there's much that must go through Congress. So here's what I propose
go
with
ahead.
Congress.
Propose.
And that is, start with a question. If 90% of Americans...
Start with a question. Don't you love people that start with questions? Ask yourself this. If you're unhappy on this vacation, is it you?
Oh, no.
Maybe it's you. Let me start with a question. If we're not having a good time as a family, maybe we should be doing other things as a family. 855-839-1210. Imagine listening to that for
no.
4 years. For 4 years.
No, please. Please, God, no. Please let it be Bernie.
I just,
or even Cory Booker.
Anyone.
Yeah.
If she became the nominee, first of all, we'd have to listen to that for months.
Yes.
That's the other problem, too. Is that she became the nominee in, say, let's say, like February, they pretty much decided then. Till November, I have to listen to that.
Yep.
Oh, my. I quit.
Please.
I think I quit my job.
Because we know there are a lot of Democrats that listen to this program. I'm pleading with you.
Please,
whatever you do, for the safety of this program, do not vote for her. Please.
The best thing you can do for me would be to nominate Bernie Sanders
yes.
as your nominee. The best thing you could do.
Because.
Please. Because Bernie, at least, he's crazy, but fun crazy. You know what I mean? He's crazy in that kind of harmless, you want to take him and put him into a like a home kind of way. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying, it's kind of nice, you know. We have a little Bernie. He was on with Cardi B yesterday.
Oh, no.
So Bernie was with, now who is Cardi B? She's a singer?
She is.
Very okay. famous hit singer.
Very she's, famous hit singer.
Yeah, she's a hip hop.
Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Start with 18.
This is Senator Bernie Sanders. I am with Cardi B. We're at the 10 Nail Bar in Detroit, Michigan, talking about some of the most important issues that impact
By the way,
you.
How does Bernie stand out at a nail bar in Detroit, Michigan? How does the whitest United States senator fit in the nail bar?
And while they're doing that, they're showing all these, you know, this plush, like where you get your fingernails done. So all these thousands of bottles of polish. It's very colorful.
And there's Bernie.
Leather seating. It's like a, you know, ladies, you know, where you get your nails
his
done.
His white hair and his
yeah, his hair is like a little nappy on top.
He walks
it's like
in.
A little wispy.
This is where you broads get your nails done. All right. All right.
He hates women.
I know. This is so painful for him. All right. Oh, gosh. What is that?
Don't you ever feel like scared that like these people that run drug companies and these schools, you know, it's all a business. And it's like, are you scared that you will get so many powerful people upset? I don't know.
Cardi, that's what I've been doing
Cardi.
My whole life.
Can I call you Cardi?
All right, guys. So this is Cardi and Bernie, and we're out here in Detroit at the 10 Nail Bar. Because you know I love nails. You know what I'm saying? a couple of weeks ago, I asked my followers, what type of questions would you like to ask a Democratic candidate? Let's go, baby.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to advocate the youth in my community because I feel like there's a serious problem right now in America. We have this bully as a president, and the only way to take him out is somebody winning.
You know, we got to get rid of Donald Trump, obviously, because Donald Trump is an overt racist.
I'm whispering so that the people outside don't hear me and come in and rob me. But now I'm going to accuse the president of being a racist.
It's a very
if I don't win the black vote, I'm firing so many people that work for me that I got to do this nonsense. This better win me the black vote is all I can say. It's all I can think right now. This broad with her nails, and I'm doing this. And I'm looking outside the door, and those people are looking at me a little weird because they've never seen a person like me here in this nail shop. But let me call the president a racist. That'll help.
Oh my God.
We definitely live in the dumbest political time ever, by the way, ever in the history of politics.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so... I'll take a break from Cardi B and Bernie for a quick second here. And I will play for you this clip of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mentioned this earlier. You, perhaps as a Trump supporter, are constantly labeled as things racist, Nazi, everything else, fascist, terrorist, and on it goes. And of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's another woke millennial who thinks that she's entitled to everything. She now is going to classify everybody who is a Trump supporter. And this is what they do. They do this over and over again. So she's on the Pod Save America, AOC, bashing people again. This is the same kind of, you're a deplorable, you're a smelly Walmart person, on and on, not very creative. Take a listen.
Like, I don't necessarily want to vilify.
This is the podcast host. This is the host.
Yes, sir.
You understand my frustration with this? You understand my frustration? I don't want to necessarily vilify, but yeah, and I want this guy to host Tom Wolf mediating a divorce between Elizabeth Warren and Bob Casey. That's what I want to see this host do
on NPR.
On NPR, on some woke podcast. All right, keep going.
Like I don't necessarily want to vilify people who vote for Trump, but at the same time, you also need to call racism out, and I don't know how. Even beyond Trump, I don't know how we ever sort of piece this back together or where are the spaces for these conversations? It's not
sleepy.
Twitter.
No, it's certainly not. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think the biggest mistake that we have, and it's a trap that gets set by the right, whether intentionally or unintentionally, is just the frame of asking, is blank racist? That is something that we have to pull ourselves out of. It's not about asking whether Trump voters are racist. We need to talk about racism, not racists. It's a very two-dimensional, boring conversation.
A very boring conversation, no doubt about it. First time I agree with you. It's actually the first time I've agreed with AOC. This is an incredibly boring conversation. How many people download this dumb podcast?
Actually, it's actually pretty popular, but I don't know why.
Because do people want to go to sleep at night? Is this the Calm app?
It must be.
There's something, somebody recommended me the Calm app, which is supposed to help you fall asleep at night with like hypnosis or not, meditation or something.
Yes.
I would listen to this to fall asleep. I don't want to like say that they're all racist, but like they're all racist. And like, what do you think about that? Do you think they're all like racist? Well, I think like
It's, by the way, it's hosted by Jon Favreau, not that Jon Favreau, Daniel Pfeiffer, and John Lovett.
If Jon Favreau, that Jon Favreau, the director of Iron Man, all right, and Mikey from Swingers was hosting this podcast, I would listen to it.
Me too.
Because he's really good, and he's really funny and engaging. This Jon Favreau, the lesser Jon Favreau, could not be more freaking boring. My God.
The lesser Favreau.
Just... What is with these people? I can't even. I honestly can't. Now, we also have here Ben Rhodes, who blamed the Trump administration for a nuclear explosion in Russia. Why not? Why not? Blame them. Why? Blame Trump for Chernobyl, too. I mean, you know, I mean, why not? Ben Rhodes, who used to be in the Obama State Department, there was a Russian nuclear accident. And yeah, hey, it's Trump's fault. Was it in Russia? Didn't do anything about it. But hey, hey, Trump's fault. Why not? Cut six.
Speaking to that, Ben Rhodes, Wendy Sherman was saying yesterday, one of your former colleagues, that that was something abandoned by the U.S. because it is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's risky to introduce new nuclear-powered weapons, of course. And what's also crazy is this is happening at a time when the Trump administration is systematically dismantling the treaties and agreements that have formed the basis of arms control between the United States and Russia and globally. And the more you do that, the more you're just opening the door to the use of these dangerous new technologies. I also think, frankly, Andrea, it shows that the Russian government, which can't be trusted, is not a really credible voice when there's an accident like this. That as was the case with Chernobyl in the 80s, the Russian people have a government that engages in lies and propaganda all the time. And so they can't be trusted to get good information. And that, too, is very worrying, particularly if you're in Russia.
In other words, Russia's a problem, right? Oh, man, I love these people. They're absolutely amazing. Well, thanks, Trump, for causing Chernobyl. Ready? Let everybody know Donald Trump called it Chernobyl. He started Chernobyl, all right? It's his fault. There you go. 855-839-1210 is the number. I played this earlier, but I think it's important to play again. Two women who were trapped inside a home. I believe these women were they Muslim, these women? Are they, I think they, some
yes.
of they were, right?
Yes, wearing traditional garb.
Traditional wearing, garb, yes. Right. What they said regarding the gunfire the other night, the Philadelphia police, and the shooting in the Nicetown area, cut 10.
I thank God for these cops. They good people. Don't say nothing bad about them. They kept us safe the whole time. The whole time. They kept us safe. By the permission of God. Huh? I live on the second floor, and that's where all the...
We got a little bit of room here, please. Thank you.
Yes.
Come on, sweetie.
I just want to go
in. You're okay.
We're all
right. Go ahead and have a seat, okay? Yeah. Anybody want to go
on the side? That is the opposite narrative that you hear from the media, which is that cops are the problem and cops are racist and everything else, right? And I think that's very, very important for you to play. Clearly now is we've got six incredibly brave, heroic, quite frankly, badass cops who got shot and walked out of the hospital. Just absolutely amazing. Really, really strong people. And I know that I've mentioned this before to you. The Philadelphia FOP. Lodge 5. They have something called the Survivors Fund. And when stuff like this happens, when cops are shot, the family needs so much, as you can imagine, to deal with. And then there's all kinds of things. The officers are going through a lot themselves. The family members are scared to death. And one of the things the FOP does, they go to visit the cops. They go to help the families, find out what they need. It's all part of the FOP Lodge 5 Survivors Fund. And if you'd like to contribute to that, you can do that by going to their website, FOP Lodge 5. You can do that and make a contribution, which will be really helpful. They help with everything during a time like this for the officers and their families, anything they need. The FOP Lodge 5 Survivors Fund just steps up and makes it happen. Because this is a time you don't want... you know, the wives to have to worry, the kids to have to worry. You want to make sure that there's somebody there for the cops as they're healing and their parents and whatever they need. Little things, you know, just running errands and being able to get food. And the FOP Survivors Fund just steps up like that. Just an amazing, amazing organization. So if you'd love to contribute, if you'd like to help out, and so many people have been saying, what can I do? How can I help? And our show has done, I think, we formed a great relationship with the FOP Lodge 5 over the years as we do our Salutes the Shield segment, always bringing in brave officers. And you can just go to FOP5.org and you can make a contribution right there to the Survivors Fund and you can help out. This is when they need people to really step up. It's a selfless fund that's there for the officers and their families at a time when they need it just so much. So please reach out to them. Do that. And, you know, everything helps, by the way. A $25 contribution goes so far. FOP5.org, FOP5.org. 855-839-1210 is our number. And let me also tell you, we've got more Bernie Sanders for you. We also have, because it's Friday, we also have a T-shirt drop going on right now with Walter. I believe he's been kidnapped by that first caller. First guy who went to the mall, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe Walter kidnapped him. I'm not quite sure. Can you help me move this couch? Can you help me with this couch?
ma'am. Little reference there. Silence of the Lambs, yeah. Buffalo Bill with the...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Couch.
Yep. The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, 855-839-1210 is our number. Let me grab a call from Sophia in Spring City. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. I just wanted to comment real quick on Cardi B's previous career before she became this glorified hip-hop artist. So she was actually a stripper, and what she would do is she would seduce men, drug them, and then rob them. And, yeah, and somehow, you know, she was found and she turned to this hip-hop star, but that's what she did beforehand, and, you know, I think she's a great role model, and I think she knows a lot about all these important issues that we need to talk about these days, you know?
I'm not aware of any of her background, so that's news to me, but thanks for letting me know about that. I guess none of that stuff matters to Birdie.
Yeah, definitely, and about 2 months ago, she was completely yelling about taxes and why is the government taking so many taxes, so I hope she asked Birdie about that, too.
I wonder if she will. It's a great point, because Birdie would raise taxes on everybody, including people like Cardi B.
Yeah, because she's definitely a one percenter, for sure.
Interesting. All right, Sophia, thank you for the call. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Pat's in Allentown. Pat, good morning.
Hi, good morning. You guys are doing a great job, and you do a great job with the police. That's awesome. Hey, listen, I'm okay with being called a terrorist, a deplorable, a white supremacist, and a Nazi, but you call me Fredo? We're fighting.
That's it. Fighting words. Fredo's enough. That's where you draw the line.
That's it. Draw the line of Fredo.
I understand. I get it.
Hey, listen, if everybody just saw a police officer and said, hey, have a nice day, have a safe day, that means so much to them. Believe it or not, just a little couple of words. Have a safe day, my friend. I say it all the time, and they are so appreciative of that. They work so hard.
Well said, buddy. Well said. Thanks,
right,
Pat. Have
a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. You too, pal. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is the number. Why don't we do another clip of Bernie and Cardi B? Cardi B praises FDR. And, of course, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, wait a second now. I'm trying to remember. So he's the one with the intermittent fasting, right?
Yeah, the internment camps.
Internment camps.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
right.
It's not
okay.
Against the Japanese.
Yeah.
Right.
Japanese Americans.
Right. That's what he did. And German Americans and Italian Americans.
Yep.
You know, ripping them from their homes and putting them in camps, right?
Yes. That was the Democratic president.
So Republican president
Franklin Delano
Roosevelt.
Democratic president.
Putting people in concentration camps.
There are places named after him, streets named after him. And
schools named after him.
And parks.
So we're sure he didn't just start the intermittent fasting diet. We're sure. He put people in concentration camps.
Yes.
You're sure?
It was very disgraceful. It was a stain on American history.
Okay, well, I think you're wrong. He's a Democrat. A Democrat could never do such a thing. well, this is Cardi B. She loves FDR. Cut 21.
You know, you have a mutual respect for FDR.
Did you want to talk about that?
Oh, well, you know, me and his wife, we have the same birthdays. I have a couple of reasons why I love FDR, you know what I'm saying? I feel like it's amazing because he became a president when America was in one of its worst times. And not only are you going through a depression, but you're also going through World War II. So you're trying to fix the economy while you have to fund a war. So it's like
which kind of fixed the economy.
So for me to know that a president did that, I mean, come on now, he did the New Deal. Like, that's the reason we have Social Security.
That's right.
So it just amazed me that he came up with all
this
of those
things.
This
is the dumbest political interview I've ever heard in my life. You know what's going through Bernie's mind. If I don't win the black vote, I am going to kill my staff. I'm going to kill him.
black and Hispanic and women, because as you've pointed out, there were some issues with women. So yeah.
This is my broad rehabilitation tour. I got to do this because they know that I'm a misogynist and I hate these people. So, yeah, Cardi, that's right. A war and a depression. Listen to this. You went to school, huh? Wow. Amazing. This better get the chicks to like me again. She hasn't bring up internment camps.
No,
shocking.
No,
that's amazing.
Social
to me.
Security, though.
Social Security,
new,
right? Not the internment camps. Well, all right. Keep going.
So it just amazed me that he came up with all of those things, plus personal problems. Like, you know, he had polio and everything. And it's just like, damn. I love him. He's my favorite.
Well, I want to be a favorite after I'm elected, but we'll see. All right.
Oh, my God.
He wants out of there so bad. He wants out of there so bad.
That was a minute clip, and I think Bernie said two words.
Yeah, that's all. We'll see. I just want to get the hell out of this friggin' nail salon. That's all I want. I'll even drop out of the race if it gets me out of here. Whatever it takes. Listen, broad.
No, it's not. You didn't call it broad.
Cardi B, is that short for broad? Cardi broad. Is that what that is? The B? Let's see. Now we have Walter is calling back. Walter Kosh, our promotions czar. Walter, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, what's up, Walter?
Shirts are all gone.
Shirts are all gone.
Yeah, Plymouth meeting.
The Zioli Army shirts are gone. How quickly did they go?
34 minutes.
No, 34 minutes. All right. Great. How many did you give away, Walter?
Probably close to 75 or so.
Wow!
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 That's amazing.
How were the people you met?
They were awesome. They were so thankful and excited to have the green shirts. One person showed up in their Zioli Army shirt to get the green shirt.
They're collector's items now.
Now they're getting greedy.
Collect all the colors and yeah.
Yeah, it's good. That's very good. Well, thank you, Walter Kosh, for being
out
here. Tomorrow's another drop. Tomorrow you're headed over to the Garden State.
Tomorrow is Saturday, but
Monday, right? Monday, right? Monday. That's what I mean.
I mean, unless you're, are you on tomorrow?
I used to be on Saturdays, but I got promoted, yeah. So I'm gonna take the day off.
Okay. Well, then we'll do it Monday then.
All right. Thank you, Walter. Have a great weekend. Walter Kosh. All right. Good job, buddy. Good job. There we go.
He really does a great job.
He really does. The 75 gone. Look at that.
Wow.
Ronnie King on Twitter says Bernie Sanders and Cardi B speed dating. That's what that sounded like. How many more minutes? Six. Huh? All right. Yes, I hope to be the guy you pick. We'll see. How many more minutes? Five. Okay. Yeah, FDR. Yeah, yeah, quite a guy. 4 minutes. All right. Let me keep going. All right, Dawn. It is 8:05 on a Friday. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We have 74 degrees. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Zioli Show News. So I thought I would just talk about, we're talking about this shooting that happened this week, but some things that haven't been highlighted as much. So the crime scene investigation team is continuing to collect evidence from that house in North Philadelphia we've all been talking about, even nationally, used by an armed felon as a perch to pick off police officers. So sources say the gunman opened fire on dozens of officers, shooting six policemen who, thank God, are going to be okay. But this after a narcotics strike force raided two suspected drug houses almost simultaneously on Wednesday. So the guy's defense attorney is already questioning whether officers raided one house without a search warrant. So these are row homes, but they're already looking at the search warrants there. That's a heads up on that one. The police commissioner, by the way, says the standoff ended with the use of tear gas. So we've heard a lot about these brilliant negotiations, which I'm sure were important. But at the end of the day, the police commish says, it was the tear gas. So that gas takes time to clear before it's safe for detectives to search, which produced finally, that's why they didn't get in there until yesterday afternoon and overnight, etc. So it produced an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, a handgun, among other weaponry, and a lot of bullets and that sort of thing. Police call the shooter a career criminal, a drug dealer nicknamed Gruff. And remember, we heard about a video, so we're all looking for the video. because we heard he was live streaming or something. So police are saying that literally while officers faced a barrage of bullets, they learned the man inside who was shooting at them was using FaceTime to talk with his baby mama. In other words, his girlfriend just had a baby in the hospital. So she was in the maternity ward. So he was talking to her, and that's how they ultimately were able to. These people were calling police. A lot of people were calling police saying, this is the guy. So he graduated from Bartram High with a trade certificate for heating and air conditioning systems. He never worked in the field, but had several jobs, including KFC and later a Chuck E. Cheese. So I thought I'd give some fun facts there. In San Francisco, the school...
Chuck E. Cheese? They let him work there with all of his...
These things just struck
Chuck
me.
Does Chuck E. Cheese not do background checks on their employees?
It's a little scary. Because they make all of us parents wear a stamp... You know, right. With ID to make sure we're with our kids. So I thought, oh, Chuck E. Wow.
Honestly, I mean, that kind of makes me wonder who else is working at Chuck E. Cheese.
But you're stamped. But, as a
right.
parent.
Well, as
so
a parent, you're stamped. Yeah, that's, right. Wow.
An update on in San Francisco, the school board did vote to cover up rather than destroy that historic mural that some students and parents at George Washington High School call demeaning and upsetting because of its depictions of slavery and Native America. So they're going to use these very expensive panels instead of painting over this large Life of Washington mural painting in the school district there, which shows enslaved African Americans and parts of history, George Washington's estate, that he had slaves and that sort of thing. They're going to cover it up with panels. So that's the follow-up. They won't paint over
it. Oh, it's so stupid. Oh, my God. All right.
And finally, the FCC, they didn't think Jimmy Kimmel was very funny. So alert tones that he used in a Jimmy Kimmel Live episode earlier this year, he was making fun of a presidential alert test that happened last year. Well, now, it's costing ABC $395,000 in fines because the FCC said they abused this. You can't play that alert because it's especially for major emergencies. So he wasn't the only one, but he got there were $600,000 in fines. But it shows you the FCC does watch this stuff. That's why we're very careful on this program.
That's right. That's why we never make any tuna comments or anything
else.
We
don't play alert tones.
We don't play alert tones.
Don't play with safety. Yep. Eyewitness weather. It's going to be 85 with a chance of some pop-up storms today and a hot but beautiful weekend ahead. 90 degrees and in the 80s at the shore. Dawn with Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate that. 855-839-1210. In the midst of all this, there's a lot of ways to help out the police. I'm going to talk to my buddy John Hoyt from FOP Lodge 5. He's going to call on the show in a little bit, and we'll talk about all the efforts that we can to help out the cops. I am, as you know, as I'm always, I've been the same guy for years. I've never changed. I never will change. I am of the mindset that our liberty is always, it's like a bill away from being taken away from us, and we have to always be vigilant about pushing back on this stuff for a reason, because you hear the rhetoric coming from these politicians who want to become president, and it's downright scary. It really is. Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, who wants to use all this executive action. The governor of Pennsylvania wants to use all this executive action. There's not a single executive order you can sign or a bill you can pass to keep guns out of the hands of criminals who are not supposed to have those guns. That's the point. That's why the executive order entitled Keeping Guns Out of the Hands of Criminals Who Shouldn't Have Guns in Their Hands is so silly, because they're not supposed to have the guns, but they're not supposed to deal drugs. They're not supposed to shoot at cops. They're not supposed to shoot people. They're not supposed to violate their parole. They're criminals. They don't listen to anything. And this is why I bring you to this Wall Street Journal piece I mentioned earlier by Leah Labresco, a statistician who wrote, I used to think gun control was the answer. My research told me otherwise. So she's a woke millennial, I believe, and she wanted to bash the NRA and go after common sense gun reforms. She started researching this because she said all this stuff would frustrate me. The NRA would frustrate me. Then my colleagues and I at 538 spent 3 months analyzing all 33,000 lives ended by guns each year in the United States, and I wound up frustrated in a whole new way. We looked at what interventions might have saved those people, and the case for the policies I'd lobbied for crumbled when I examined the evidence. The best ideas left standing were narrowly tailored interventions to protect subtypes of potential victims, not broad attempts to limit the lethality of guns.
I researched the strictly tightened gun laws in Britain and Australia and concluded that they didn't prove much about what America's policy should be. Neither nation experienced drops in mass shootings or other gun-related crime that could be attributed to their buybacks and their bans. Mass shootings were too rare in Australia for their absence after the buyback program to be clear evidence of progress. And in both Australia and Britain, the gun restrictions had an ambiguous effect on other gun-related crimes or deaths. When I looked at other oft-praised policies, I found out that no gun owner walks into the store to buy a, quote, assault weapon. It's an invented classification that includes any semi-automatic weapon that has two or more features, such as a bayonet mount, a rocket-propelled grenade launcher mount, a folding stock, or a pistol grip. But guns are modular, and any hobbyist can easily add those features at home, just as if they were snapping together Legos. As for silencers, they deserve the name only in movies, where they reduce gunfire to a soft p-ch. In real life, silencers limit hearing damage for shooters, but don't make gunfire dangerously quiet. An AR-15 with a silencer is about as loud as a jackhammer. Magazine limits were a little more promising, but a practiced shooter could still change magazines as fast to make the limit meaningless. Let me just break from the article for a second and mention that Commissioner Richard Ross, Philadelphia Police Commissioner, at the press conference yesterday said the shooter had an AR-15. We don't know how many times he reloaded. See, and this is the other problem, right? With all these dumb ideas of limiting magazine capacity to 10 bullets. If somebody wants to plan a mass shooting, and they're gonna get more bullets. They're gonna reload. They're gonna do whatever they have to do to be able to do this. It's not. And then I don't know how you can say losing 10 lives is okay, but 11 lives goes too far. I mean, that thinking I've never understood. But the reason why it doesn't work is because if a shooter or shooters wants to do something, they're going to bring whatever they need to do it. They're not going to be limited by 10 bullets. You know what I mean? They're not. So, and she points that out. She says that. She says magazine limits were a little more promising, but a practice shooter could still change magazines so fast as to make the limit meaningless. As my coworkers and I kept looking at the data, it seemed less and less clear that one broad gun control restriction could make a big difference. 2/3 of gun deaths in the United States every year are suicides. Almost no proposed restriction would make it meaningfully harder for people with guns on hand to use them. I couldn't even answer my most desperate question. If I had a friend who had guns in his home and had a history of suicide attempts, was there anything I could do that would help? However, the next largest set of gun deaths, 1 in 5, were young men aged 15 to 34 killed in homicides. These men were most likely to die at the hands of other young men, often related to gang loyalties or other street violence. And the last notable group of similar deaths was the 1,700 women murdered each year, usually as a result of domestic violence. Far more people were killed in these ways than in mass shooting incidents, but few of the popularly floated policies were tailored to serve them. Again, this is a writer. Her piece is called, "I Used to Think Gun Control Was the Answer. My research told me otherwise." I want to thank my buddy Road Warrior for sending this to my attention, because it was actually from last year. Leah Labresco, a statistician and former writer at 538. And she's woke. Now, she writes here, "By the time we published our project, I didn't believe in many of the interventions I'd heard politicians tout. I was still anti-gun, at least from the point of view of most gun owners, and I don't want a gun in my home, as I think the risk outweighs the benefits. But I can't endorse policies whose only selling point is that gun owners hate them. Policies that often seem as if they were drafted by people who have encountered guns only as a figure in a briefing book or an image on the news. Instead, I found the most hope in more narrowly tailored interventions, potential suicide victims, women menaced by their abusive partners, and kids swept up in street vendettas are all in danger from guns, but they each require different protections." Now, this is why I tell you that the rhetoric that comes from these politicians is so incredibly frustrating, because nothing that they're proposing would do anything to stop anything she just talked about there. And what they want to do also is they want to turn legal gun owners, law-abiding citizens who've done nothing wrong, they want to turn them into criminals. Kirsten Gillibrand, also running for president, would very much like to turn you into a felon just for simply owning a gun and not turning it over to the feds. Cut three.
You are supportive of a mandatory buyback program for weapons. It was brought up first by Eric Swalwell, who was running for president in your party. Cory Booker has talked about that. Some have gone as far as to say not only should it be a mandatory buyback of assault rifles, but there should be criminal prosecution for those who don't sell them back. Is that something you support?
So I think we should ban assault weapons as well as large magazines. And as part of passing that ban, do a buyback program across the country so that those who own them can be compensated for their money that they spent. But I think both of those ideas are strong. I think having
mandatory
buyback combined, well, you don't want people to retain them, because if you make them illegal, you don't want to grandfather in all the assault weapons that are all across America. You would like people to sell them back to the government so that you can make sure people who shouldn't have access to these weapons couldn't have them.
The next prong of that is, if you're supportive of a mandatory buyback, then the next step is that you then criminally prosecute those who don't sell them back, which could result in jail time for those individuals. Are you supportive of that?
So the point is,
so yeah, basically yes, she is. So by the way, she was praised by MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, who praised Gillibrand for leaving the NRA's sphere of influence. Now, remember something. Kirsten Gillibrand was a congresswoman from upstate New York who used to have an A rating from the NRA. She was all pro-gun. Then she ran for statewide office in New York and had to win votes in places like Brooklyn and Manhattan. So then she became anti-gun. Now she's running for president, so she's pro-gun confiscation. All right? So that's the journey of Kirsten Gillibrand, the grandstanding panderer here. Cut 3B.
Somebody who had an A rating from the NRA, you were able to remove yourself from their sphere of influence. You were in a different situation because you went from that conservative district to representing all of New York. But do you believe someone like Mitch McConnell can pull himself from that sphere? Help us understand the power the NRA has.
So the problem with Washington and the NRA is the greed and corruption that's at the root of it. The NRA cares far more about gun sales than keeping our kids safe in our schools, than keeping worshipers safe in their place of worship. They communicate to their members and mislead their members, telling them that Democrats or any common sense Republican who's for gun reform is going to take away their hunting rifles. It's just not true. It's a lie. And you don't need to choose between
Wait. That's not true. It's a lie. Wait, you know lies, don't you? Especially since you once wrote a letter to the NRA praising them. Remember that? Remember that letter you wrote, Kirsten Gillibrand, talking about your absolute support for the NRA back in 2008? So wait, was that a lie or is this a lie? I'm just curious, which one was the lie? That or this? Which lie was it? Lastly, I agree with the NRA that sportsmen should be allowed to hunt on federally owned lands, blah, blah, blah. I appreciate the work the NRA does to protect gun owners' rights, and I look forward to working with you for many years in Congress. Or until I decide I no longer need you anymore and throw you under the bus. There you go. City Council President Darrell Clark, Philadelphia City Council President, he responded to the shooting by, again, using hyperbole, grandstanding, and, of course, nonsense that won't do a damn thing to solve the problem of violence in Philadelphia. Cut 12.
We're going to be asking everybody engaged, people that are obviously not in this room, to put and check your partisan politics at the door, all right? And you check your personal perspective at the door. Because it's not about you and your personal perspective. It's about the citizens of the city of Philadelphia, the citizens of the state of Pennsylvania, and the citizens of this country. All right, this nonsense that we can't come up with a solution to solve it. We all know what. There are mental health issues. There are all other types of issues, social issues. But there's one underlying fact: there are too many weapons on the streets of this country. Bottom line. and this madness about, oh, well, I have to check. I have to go home and find out what my constituents say. How many polls do you need to have? Poll after poll says everybody wants us to do something. So do something, right? Members of the General Assembly, and obviously not the people in this room, because they are clearly pushing the envelope, but those other individuals, both in the state and the federal government, need to step to the plate and hear the hue and cry of the citizens of this country and move some good sense, reasonable legislation to get these assault-style weapons off the street. This is not Afghanistan. This is not Iraq, right? This is the United States of America, so this has no place in our
actually,
country.
Actually, Iraq is safer than some parts of Philadelphia right now. I'm just pointing that out. I mean, that's the reality. There were five people shot last night in North Philadelphia, and that's not getting national attention today because it happens all the time in Philadelphia. And these guns are not weapons of war that they're using. Oh, except for the fact that all guns are technically weapons of war. This is what I mean. This is a manufactured, stupid talking point that the left uses right now to try to advocate gun control. It is not accurate. It is not accurate. These are not weapons of war in the sense of they're not using these in theater of war. But they want you to be scared, and so they say that, and if they say it enough, then it becomes a thing. And that's why you hear this over and over again. The weapons of war, weapons of war. Handguns are also used in war. Semi-automatic handguns are used in war. All right? And semi-automatic handguns on the streets in the hands of criminals are a problem. I don't know what law you put in place to stop that from happening. I do know, though, that if you put criminals in behind bars and you don't let them out, well, then you got something there. Which is why the district attorney, Larry Krasner, has been blaming everybody who went before him for this guy the other night, the jerk, as Tom Wolf calls him, for the jerk being on the street shooting at cops. By the way, one more with feeling of the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, his harsh condemnation of a man who shot six Philadelphia police officers and fired at 25 more.
We've got to start with figuring out ways of getting guns out of the hands of people like the jerk who shot six officers yesterday and last night
you
here
jerk.
In Philadelphia.
You jerk, you just shot six cops. What a jerky move. You're so jerky. Dude, really? You're the governor of Pennsylvania? This jerk?
I mean...
Can his staff not come up with a better word than that?
I think he ad-libbed.
Think he ad-libbed?
I think he had a written speech and he just ad-libbed jerk.
You are a jerk. What do you call somebody who cuts you off in traffic then? If a jerk means you shoot six cops, you're a jerk. What is the average guy who goes going slow in the left lane? What is that? Is that we just still a traditional left lane D, for example? I just want to know the terminology. So jerks like that guy the other night. How do we keep guns out of the hands of jerks like that guy the other night, you think? My sweeping crime bill?
Yeah.
I want to make it against the law for criminals who can't have guns to have guns.
That's a good one.
Do you like
that's
that?
A good start.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bold move, Rich. I don't know how you're going
to
get it done.
Do you think I can get the bipartisan support necessary?
I don't know.
What I want to say is it's time to leave politics at the door.
Yep.
We must come together and agree that criminals who aren't allowed to have guns shouldn't have guns.
Should not.
And my bill is the Keeping Guns Out of the Hands of Criminals Who Are Not Allowed to Have Guns Act of 2019. Keeping guns out of the hands of criminals who are already not allowed to have guns in 2019, Act of 2019 for safety.
That's
Act.
A good one.
You like that for the children?
For the children.
I like that. Banning guns in the hands of criminals who are banned from having those guns.
Do you think this jerk who shot at the police, you think he passed a background check?
I think he walked right into a store, passed a background check, bought the gun. And then if there was only just a law against him buying a gun with all those criminal... I'm sorry, he was on probation. He couldn't buy a gun. He also has all kinds of criminal problems of why he couldn't buy a gun. So he actually couldn't buy a gun.
He was a federal felon.
Right.
Once you're a federal felon, no firearms.
Yeah, and on probation, so...
Surely it was the gun show loophole, though, that got him able to
Clearly,
buy a gun.
He went to an 1812 Civil War, or War of 1812 reenactment gun show and bought this a giant loophole.
Yep.
So clearly...
That's how every criminal is getting their guns these days.
Keeping guns out of the hands of people who are not allowed to have guns Act of 2019.
You can do this, Rich.
We can do this. My mother is texting me. Apparently, cops found pressure cookers in Lower Manhattan by the Fulton Street subway station by the World Trade Center. She's saying Lower Manhattan looks like a war zone.
Oh, God.
Oh, goody. Let's see. Let's turn over to, let's see. I have CBS 3 on, but I'll turn over to Fox News, I guess, see if they have something on it. And we'll give you an update so you don't have to leave the show. Yeah. Let's see. Fox and Friends. Come on, turn the station. That's a freaking commercial. Australian Dream. Back pain cream.
Yeah. 25 minutes ago, so a pair of suspicious pressure cookers shut down a subway station in Lower Manhattan this morning.
Okay. But no, nothing went off or anything like that?
No. I don't see any injuries or anything like that.
Okay, that's good.
NYPD's on it.
NYPD's on it. Good. Well, this will give Bill de Blasio an opportunity to grandstand a little bit more today. So.
They're like pressure, or they're rice cookers.
rice cookers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hopefully it's okay. You know who does that, by the way? A jerk.
Stop.
Yeah.
Like this jerk the other day, Tom Wolf, the
mediator. We've got to start with figuring out ways of getting guns out of the hands of people like the jerk. Who shot six officers yesterday and last night here in Philadelphia.
You know what he sounds like, actually? He sounds like the principal on Orientation Day.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, the bomb squad just said they're not explosives.
They were
the rice cookers. Okay. So we're okay.
So either somebody left them there on their way back from Bed Bath & Beyond and carried them home, or...
Somebody's going, oh, darn, and I used up my coupon to my 20% off to...
Right. Well, you better always use a coupon. If you don't use a coupon, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because they have those 20% coupons.
All right. Well, thank you for updating us on that. We're going to talk to my buddy John Hoyt from the FOP Lodge 5, find out what we can do to help the cops and what they're doing to help their fellow officers who were shot the other night.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.